I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read one verse there, verse 3. I want to speak to you on the subject, time to be saved. I believe that time is running out on our world. I know that there are churches on every corner, but there are very few churches that are preaching the true gospel. And church after church is beginning to change their doctrine. Right now, the doctrine is a precious thing. Yes. And if a person puts it off and puts it off and puts it off, America will one day, if the Lord doesn't come back quickly, be a pagan nation. I see that coming. I see that the government is trying to stamp out religion that is true, trying to cause people not to respect God's word, trying to cause people to think that the government can save. We all know that only Jesus can save. And we're living in a perilous time. The people who do not get saved pretty soon are not going to hear the true gospel. It is absolutely imperative that those who are not saved put their trust in Jesus before it's too late. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what the world does or says, or how the world ridicules your word and does not regard your word is still truth. And Lord, I pray for the poor lost people around about us that have believed the lie of the devil and are just going through life hoping for the best. Lord, I pray that you would set them free. Cause them to see their need of a Savior. Help them to understand the gospel that they might be saved. Search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I think that the first thing that we need to look at in this verse is the need. He says here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard? How shall we escape? There is no other way to escape. This world is temporary. Just a matter of time, and it will all be over with. We will see an end to this planet one day, but even before that time, many of us will go on to be with the Lord. And when time runs out, it's out. And I don't care what the world believes. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And one of these days, we're either going to live in heaven or we're going to live in hell. And there is no escape apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only escape that there is. And he asked the question, how shall we escape? What will we do if we miss salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? What we desperately need in this world is forgiveness. Forgiveness for those who have sinned against God. For those who have violated his word. For those who have sinned and lived in sin. Listen to Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That man is blessed. If you're here this morning and you have your sins forgiven, you have reason for rejoicing. Doesn't matter what else is going on in your life, if your sins are forgiven, you are blessed. And God wants us to know that and to share that with other people. The world is trying to keep our mouths shut about the gospel. Do you know that? They don't want us talking in schools. They don't want us to talk in public places. As a matter of fact, they're trying to pass a law in California to make it illegal to give somebody a Bible. That's dangerous. It's dangerous to the lost people. You see, because whenever we take the word of God away from lost people, there's no hope. And the forgiveness that they need will never come through any other means. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without the word of God, there's no faith. The devil knows that. That's the reason he's pushing in this direction. Because he wants to keep the lost people lost. He wants to keep the world pagan. We have a very pagan America right now. And it is difficult for anybody to fully grasp the truth with all of the lies that are being spread. And God wants us to understand that the greatest need that we have in America is not more money, but forgiveness. Amen. Then what people need is freedom. You know, the people who think that they are enjoying their sin and that they are free to do whatever they want to do, those people are in bondage to the very sin that they think they're enjoying. And before long, that sin will begin to destroy them, and then they won't know how to get out of it. There is a way to have freedom from sin, and that's what people need. And how shall they escape if they neglect so great salvation? Listen to what the Bible says in John 8, 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. But if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You see, there's freedom from sin. And God came to take away our sin. He came to free us from sin. And sin is a bondage that will destroy everything that it touches. God wants us to be free. You know that Jesus said here that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. The truth of God's word is not something we can just get on first reading. We have to study God's word. And we have to continue in God's word. And as we do, then God will put his word into our hearts, and we will begin then to know the truth, and the truth will begin to set us free. When we give up salvation, when a lost person puts it off for whatever reason or neglects it, they're giving up their future hope. We have a hope for future that they do not have. Lost people, lost neighbors, lost friends, lost family members do not have a future hope. Oh, they may be hoping for future, but they do not have a future hope. Because there is no hope in anything else but salvation. You know, the whole idea now is that we've got to accept everybody's religion as equal. The Buddhist religion is equal to the Christian religion. All those things. It's not true. See, the problem is all the Buddhists are going to go to hell. All the Muslims are going to go to hell. A lot of the Baptists are going to go to hell because they're believing in a works-oriented salvation. You see, the devil has not just got into the Muslim religion, but he's also got into the Christian religion. He's beginning to pervert the gospel of Christ. It's a gospel of you've got to do these things or you don't make it to heaven. And so our trust becomes in those things. Those people go to hell. It is a very narrow way, and that narrow way is Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus says about our future if we put our trust in him. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want a future? You've got to have Jesus. You'll have a future, all right, but it won't be in heaven. And hell's a terrible place. I wish the world could get a glimpse of hell. That's what they need. More so than a glimpse of heaven. Because hell is what we need to escape from. Whenever we realize that we have no other place to go but hell if we miss heaven, then it would behoove us to look for a Savior. But you see, all of this time that we're using up in America right now is going to run out. There's going to be little children who grow up thinking the way to get to heaven is just live a good life. There's going to be little children who grow up thinking there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell. Just live, and when you die, you die. Right here in America, there are people today who have no clue about true salvation because past generations have neglected it. Past generations have turned from it and have begun to accept some of the modern stuff. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that the Roman Empire never was destroyed, and it was intermingled with all the peoples of the world. You know how that works? The influence of the Roman Catholic Church is all over this planet. You say, well, what about America? We have that influence here. But you know what? It's even stronger than what you realize. Because all of the Protestant churches are Reformed Catholics. Whether they be Arminian or whether they be Calvinist, they are all Reformed Catholics. All that influence is everywhere. And they carry with them all kinds of ideas from the universal church. That's what the word Catholic means. The universal church is all intermingled in America. The idea that we have to work for our salvation, either to prove it or to keep it, is a Catholic idea. All that's going to revive in the last days, and that's going to be the religion pulled together by the Antichrist. And we're seeing the beginnings of that right now. Because most of the churches in America today trace their roots back to Catholicism. The true church never came out of Catholicism. Never did. And so it is important that we continue to preach the simple gospel message. Because when it's gone, it's gone. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now here's the news. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It is a great salvation. Even though the gospel has been watered down, even though people are completely staying away from church because the devil has been successful, one of the big things that has caused people to drop out of church is the TV evangelists who've made a fool of themselves in collecting money, and people have caught on that that's all they're doing is just collecting money, and so they say that's all church is about, and so they drop out. That's a ploy of the devil. It's to keep people away from the truth, because he knows the truth will set them free. And as the devil keeps on with his exploits, there's still the good news that Jesus has provided a great salvation for all who will put their trust in him. It is a great salvation because of its simplicity. Listen to Romans 10, 8 through 17. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, our salvation is a great salvation because it's a simple salvation. You see, the reason it has to be simple is because we don't have anything to add. In the equation of salvation, we're a zero. We can't add anything. And when we try to add something, it just reveals the fact that we're a zero. The Lord says, when any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And so if we add to the gospel and we say, okay, you have got to stop sinning if you want to get to heaven. You've got to repent of that, turn from your sins, and then you can be saved. Good luck with that. Because you can't do that. You can try, but you're going to go to hell. Until you throw yourself completely upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope. Or you can say, well, the Lord will save you, but if you turn back and you start sinning, you're going to hell. You say, okay, I think I can do this. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to live good enough, you know, with God's help to make it to heaven. Your faith is in your goodness. And you can't be saved. You see how sly the devil is? All that sounds good, just won't work. It has to be the simple salvation that Jesus prescribed, and that is that he died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins there on the cross. Every sin that we would ever commit, past, present, and future. And then he offers it to us as a package deal, a free gift, eternal life, with nothing we can add. Before or after our salvation. We're just sinners saved by grace. You see, it's a simple salvation work for anybody. I was in a church one time where they believed that if you really got saved, you were going to quit sinning. And people were getting saved about every week. Same people. Had 500 baptisms in a church of 50 people in 1 year. And it was their membership. You see, that doesn't work. And pretty soon they just give up. Go on and find something else to do. Because that kind of salvation won't work. Everybody knows it won't work. See, folks, that's the reason. We have to stick with the simple salvation. The gospel is a very simple thing. Jesus came into the world save sin. Whoever will put their trust in him will have everlasting life. You go beyond that, it's heresy. Not only is it heresy, it will lead people to hell. God says in our salvation, there is security. We are complete in him. There's nothing left to do. You put your trust in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, totally and completely, you put your trust in him this morning and he saves you, you're through. That's it. Sanctification begins then. And you determine through the sanctification process whether you're going to have reward in heaven or you're just going to have that little cabin in the corner of glory land. But you're going to heaven because there is security in Christ. Listen to Hebrews 7, 22 through 25. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. I like that word surety. It's like a cosigner. If you can't do it, he will. You see, the idea is there. If you fail, he won't. He is a surety of a better testament. And they travel, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see how secure we are in Christ Jesus. You say, but Brother Allen, what about sin? God wants to free you from sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning that some of you may not understand. Every Christian would be sinless if they could. That's put into the heart by the Holy Spirit. If you could figure out how to quit sinning, you would if you're a Christian. And God, through the sanctification process, is blessing you with the ability to learn how to overcome that sin which will destroy you. God is not requiring of you. He is little by little training you so that you can then do what the Holy Spirit has directed in your heart to do, and that is to overcome this sin that is like a cancer eating away at you. Understand, God is our advocate. We're through with hell. Now we're trying to be through with sin. And as we go through this process, God is giving us more and more information from his word, and the more truth we know, the more freedom we find. God has secured us. But then I want you to see also that there is safety. That safety is so important. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. There's your safety right there. You see, it's not that we can always live up to it, but we're set free from the law that condemns us. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, there's your safety. God, in the process of setting you free, covers your salvation because nothing can be charged to your account. See, when you sin as a Christian, sin is not charged to the account. Paul said, when I sin, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. We're free from the condemnation of the law because we're no longer under the law of sin and death. I thank God for that. Don't ever let anybody take that from you. Somebody says, if you live in sin, you're going to go to hell. Not if you're a Christian, you're not. And you see, you say, Brother Adam, why is that so important? We know that now we can all go out and sin. If you want to go out and sin, you're not saved. Christians want to be free from sin. Now, you may like the pleasures of sin for a little while, but as soon as you do it, you're going to be back to the Lord saying, Lord, I wish I hadn't done that. Please don't ever let me do that again. See, that's part of what the Holy Spirit does in us. But you've got to know that you're safe in Jesus before you can begin to trust him enough to take over the practice in your life. Because if your salvation depends on it, you're going to be straining for everything you've got to try to live right. But when you realize it's all up to God anyway, then you can trust him to do in you what you can't do for yourself. Now, finally, I want you to look at the neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Notice it's being passed along. The neglect happens when it's not passed along properly. When we begin to change things. I heard somebody say, people who think they can get saved without repentance are foolish. Well, I agree with that. But he didn't understand what repentance was. He went on to say, you have got to quit sinning if you want to get saved. Really? See how that twists the gospel? Well, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does that mean? Well, Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that repentance is from dead works, which precedes faith in God. You see, up to that time, we're trusting what we can do. And that's dead works. We do this, we do that, we collect all these good things, and we say, surely there's more good in my life than there is bad, and surely God will let me into heaven. And then one day we realize that's not going to work. Jesus is the only hope I've got. And so we repent from dead works. We say, Lord, I don't count on that at all. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You see, when we neglect to keep it pure, the next generation comes up with a false doctrine that cannot save. There are people standing in pulpits across America this morning preaching repentance from sin before salvation. I'm going to tell you something. If you can stop sinning, you don't need salvation. That's what salvation is all about. It's kind of like taking a bath before you take your shower. Get cleaned up, and then take your bath. What's the purpose? I have seen a drift. I've seen a drift in our seminaries. People who once believed in salvation by grace through faith plus nothing now believe that you've got to quit sinning to get saved. Some of them believe that the reason that you can't get saved that way is because you've not been elected. All kinds of foolishness is coming out because the devil is muddying up the water and we're neglecting the truth. God's word is very easy to understand until it gets polluted by the devil. One of the reasons that people will not turn to the gospel is because they're satisfied with their own dead works. Listen to what the Bible says, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Every human is religious until they get turned over to a reprobate mind. Religions may be different, but they're religious. An atheist religion is eliminate God. Most people's religion is trying to have more good in their life than they do bad, hoping that'll get them in. But you notice he says, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Won't work. And as we pass on the gospel from generation to generation, we must pass on the pure gospel. Because if we don't, the drift away from the truth, and it doesn't have to be a long drift, just a short drift, will eliminate salvation. That's the reason Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Dr. Rogers said one time, somebody told him, you Baptists are too narrow-minded. You think only the Baptists are going to heaven. He said, I'm more narrow-minded than that. I don't think all the Baptists are going to make it. Whenever we get right down to it, the only ones that are going to make it to heaven are those who put their trust totally and completely in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work that he did on the cross. Then there are others who have been stupefied by the doctrines of devils. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Understand what he's saying here. Somebody puts off salvation. The devil helps them out and just keeps heaping on thought after thought after thought that will drive them away from the true gospel, will keep them from really grasping the truth. And they'll come up with all kinds of substitute salvations. They'll make things that are too hard to do, so they give up. I spoke with a man who said he was Church of Christ, but he was still lost. He said, I haven't set my mind to being saved yet. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I think you've got to quit sinning to get to heaven. And he said, I'm going to get around to it one of these days. I'm going to set my mind to it, and then I'm going to quit sinning. But you see what the devil had done to him? He had set the scale way too high. He knew he couldn't do it. He probably was going to try to wait till just before he died, so maybe the last 10 minutes he could do it. Good luck with that. But you see, that wouldn't save you anyway. Because even our righteousness is filthy rags before God. There are many people all around us, bumping shoulders with us every day, who are stupefied to the gospel. They think they understand how to get to heaven. But the devil has given them a substitute gospel. And they feel fine. Yeah, I do whatever is required of me. You know, there's people who think it's all right to sin as long as you say, I'm sorry for that sin. God doesn't mind. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, blah, 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 blah. You see, the whole idea is we just lower the standard enough, we can all be good enough. If you can take away the things that trouble you and make them a non-sin, you can live good enough to get into heaven. And so we try that. And if people are satisfied and they're stupefied, then the devil wins. But you know, one of the things that I believe is the first step is being shamed by the devil into not professing Christ as Savior. I don't want to make a fool of myself. I'm not going to tell people that I'm lost and need to be saved. I'm too strong for that. Too big for that. But listen to what Mark 8, 34 through 38 says. When he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. He said, you don't want me to be ashamed of you? You don't be ashamed of me. You see, that stands in the way of a lot of people getting saved. That's the reason people are so willing to take on a different gospel, because they can work that from their seats. They don't have to make a public show. They don't have to publicly profess Christ. But Jesus said, you're ashamed of me, go on your way. And you know, I think sometimes we coddle people too much, try to make it easy for them. When the truth is, we have to be willing to be shamed if necessary. But shame keeps a lot of people from ever receiving Christ as Savior. Not willing to step out and do it. Not willing to openly say, I need to be saved. But you know what? The way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are people of all sorts, in all walks of life, and for all reasons. See, every road except Jesus leads to hell. No matter what road a person is on, they can end up in hell. It's like jumping off a building. Something will catch you. If nothing else, the ground will. Hell is there for everybody except those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And God has called us to keep the gospel pure for the next generation. I wonder sometimes just how many churches preach the truth across America. It's scary to me. Used to, you could go to about any Baptist church and hear the true gospel. Not anymore. What's the next generation going to do? What's going to happen when those who are teaching the truth die and go to heaven? Time's going to run out. And people are going to find themselves standing before God. And he's going to say, depart from you, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And they're going to say, but Lord, we followed this plan or this plan or this plan, and we did these things. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. You see, it's either all about Jesus or it's all about your works. If you're going to get to heaven by works, you're going to have to live holy from the cradle to the grave and never sin one time. That's a serious problem. And so we either turn to Jesus with everything or we're turned into hell. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, don't put it off. To say no today may be your last opportunity. I feel that in my heart. That we're coming to a close of a situation. That we're running out of time. If you're here and you have a burden on your heart for somebody and you need to pray for them, then you feel free to do that. Whatever the Lord would have you do, let him have his way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the simple gospel. Thank you for those who have passed it on to us. And thank you for your word that tells us plainly how to get to heaven. Lord, I pray for everyone that's here, there's one that's never received Christ as Savior, that you give them the grace to step out and profess Christ boldly for their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.